Iran's foreign minister says any negotiations regarding the country's nuclear program will be possible only after the U.S. removes the sanctions and returns to the nuclear deal. The head of the U.N. nuclear watchdog is in Tehran ahead of Iran's deadline to block snap inspections of its nuclear sites in response to U.S. sanctions. The United Nations warning that Ethiopia's conflicted Tigray region is facing a very critical malnutrition situation. It's a great pleasure to have you with us. The Iranian top diplomat says that limiting the IAEA for its snap inspection of Iran's nuclear sites as mandated by the Iranian parliament would be a step under the nuclear deal.
This is what we can do in accordance with paragraph 36 of the JCPOA, which enables Iran to take remedial action against failure by other members of the JCPOA to implement their obligations. Now, the United States withdrew from the JCPOA, violated Security Council resolutions, and basically punished anybody who tried to observe international law.
Zarif said that nothing less than full removal of unilateral sanctions would persuade Iran not to implement the parliamentary law on ending the IAEA's unannounced inspections. He said the same goes for reversing earlier steps that Iran took to reduce its nuclear deal commitments. Zarif also slammed the administration of President Joe Biden for following its predecessor's maximum pressure campaign.
U.S. is addicted to sanctions. U.S. is addicted to pressure. U.S. is addicted to bullying. They should accept that maximum pressure, according to them, led to maximum failure. Compensation is going to be a part of our conversations after U.S. return to JCPOA. We have lost about $1,000 billion, $1 trillion at least, directly and indirectly, because of imposition of U.S. sanctions since 2018.
The foreign minister also rejected talks by U.S. and Europeans on renegotiating the Iran nuclear deal. He stressed that that will never happen. Iran's envoy to the International Atomic Energy Agency has described as fruitful discussions between Iran officials and the visiting UN Atomic Agency chief. In a tweet, Kazem Gharibabadi, who attended a meeting, said the talks were based on mutual respect. He said the results of the negotiations will be released later on Sunday. Rafael Grossi is in Tehran ahead of Iran's Tuesday deadline to block snap inspections of its nuclear sites in response to U.S. sanctions. The talks have been held to coordinate the simultaneous implementation of a law passed by the Iranian parliament to counter the sanctions, as well as the IAEA's inspection activities. The IAEA chief says that he's seeking a solution for the agency to continue its verification work in Iran. Now, from Bangkok, I'm joined by Brian Berletic, independent geopolitical analyst. Good to have you with us, Brian. Well, so far, as you know, Iran-IAEA relations have been moving smoothly, and there have been 14, 15 reports out by the IAEA verifying Iran's full compliance with the deal until just recently that Iran showed some reaction over the failure of the EU signatories of the deal. So how do you see this going on?
I think it looks promising to see international organizations backing up Iran's attempt to continue keeping this deal alive. But ultimately, it comes down to the United States. It's still a very powerful country. It was able to, as was said, bully even its own allies into stepping back from the deal and not lifting sanctions as was promised. And I think that the United States still wields a lot of power even over these international organizations that would otherwise continue verifying Iran's commitment to the deal and encourage everyone to come back to the table and honor the agreement as was agreed to from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, the funny thing is that Iran is in no position of nukes, and it's not intending to do that. And Islam, the religion that Iranians believe in, forbids them from doing so. And we have this religious edict by the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution. But there are some other countries in the very same region in West Asia that have nuclear arsenals, and they are proliferating it. Yesterday, we also had footage from Dimona nuclear site in Tel Aviv with major activity being seen there.
Yeah, so this is the other part of this issue. Even if you look at America's own policy papers produced by the very same think tanks that suggest that the United States continues maximum pressure on Iran, they admit in their own papers that even if Iran had nuclear weapons, they were not going to proliferate or use them in any sort of aggressive manner. The U.S. itself admits that. And again, we've been hearing from the United States about Iran getting nuclear weapons within months. We've been hearing this for 20 years, and there's been no convincing evidence. And then, as you just said, there's countries like Israel who are openly aggressive in the region. They regularly carry out airstrikes on Syria. And this is considered acceptable behavior, or at least it seems so, because no one is coming out and openly condemning it, not in the West. And yes, I think everyone pretty much agrees that they have a nuclear arsenal. And how is that not more dangerous? And why isn't there more urgency to deal with that than with Iran, where even the United States itself admits that they would not be using these weapons aggressively, even if they had them, which they don't.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution. Brian Berletic, independent geopolitical analyst in Bangkok. Now, a new report has revealed that Israel is expanding its Dimona nuclear complex, an operation that began sometime in 2018. Israel is known to be in possession of up to 400 nuclear warheads, and that's something posing a tremendous risk to the region. All these come as Israel and its allies accuse Iran of secretly working to produce nuclear bombs. Tehran has time and again dismissed the allegation.
Recently published satellite images by the International Panel on Fissile Material have revealed that Israel is expanding its Dimona nuclear facility in the Negev Desert. Israel has acknowledged the existence of the Dimona nuclear reactor, however, it neither confirms nor denies the purpose of the facility. The site has provided the Israeli regime with the material needed for its nuclear arsenal, according to a report by a non-profit organization named Federation of American Scientists. In 2020, Israel possesses close to 100 atomic nuclear warheads that are made from plutonium produced in a Dimona heavy water reactor. However, other sources have put that figure at 300, with some estimates even going as far as 400 nuclear warheads. The Israeli regime has a deliberate ambiguity policy on its nuclear arsenal, which means despite being the only possessor of nuclear weapons in West Asia, it always refuses to accept or deny having any. Israel has always turned a deaf ear to international calls on nuclear transparency, and it has never allowed any inspections of its nuclear facilities. With the US's invariable support, the regime has so far defied the international calls to join the Non-Proliferation Treaty, or NPT. The treaty aims to halt the spread of nuclear arms and weapons technology. This is all while Israel has constantly accused the Islamic Republic of Iran of weaponization of its peaceful nuclear program and assassinated several nuclear scientists in recent years. However, Iran has rejected all these accusations, as it was among the first nations to sign the NPT. In January, Iran's permanent representative to Vienna-based international organizations, Kazem Gharibabadi, denounced favoritism towards Israel by the International Atomic Agency. He said such a treatment has given the Israeli regime the audacity to ridicule the watchdog and press ahead with its advancing nuclear weapons program in defiance of international calls. Israel's possession of nuclear warhead poses a significant threat to regional stability. The regime has carried out bombing campaigns against Syria for the past years. It's threatened Iran militarily on numerous occasions. And when it comes to Hezbollah, Israel has repeatedly threatened to destroy the resistance group.
Even though Israel has acknowledged the existence of the Dimona nuclear reactor, it has neither confirmed nor denied the purpose of the facility. However, it is an open secret that manufacturing of nukes is part of what the facility does. Israel has also been reportedly stealing nuclear secrets and covertly making bombs since the 1950s, and Western governments, including the UK and the US, have turned a blind eye to that. Now, the tacit support of the U.S. and its allies to Israel's nuclear bomb-making has created a dangerous precedent for the region. Saudi Arabia is now expanding its nuclear facility, rejecting any inspections of the site. And the irony is that Iran has been accused of pursuing a secret program to produce nuclear bombs, while it has always backed efforts to have a region free from nukes.
Israel's name has been synonymous with aggression, illegal occupation, and war with regional countries, as well as other international crimes. In August 2018, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu threatened Iran with atomic annihilation, right from the regime's Dimona atomic weapons facility. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif slammed Netanyahu by calling his statement beyond shameless. The regime is the center of fabrications against Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program, which is subject to round-the-clock monitoring by the UN. Israel has made baseless allegations against Iran, saying it is developing nuclear weapons, yet the regime owns atomic warheads and refrains from allowing inspections of its facilities. Unlike Iran, Israel has so far refused to join the Non-Proliferation Treaty, whose aim is to prevent the spread of nuclear arms and weapons technology, in defiance of international pressure. Several countries have helped out Israel to develop its nuclear arsenal. They have secretly sold the Israeli regime material and expertise to build warheads. These nations include the US, France, Germany, Britain, and even Norway.
Well, you can draw the conclusion that perhaps the United States likes volatile regions. The more death and destruction, the better. It survives on this, and it invests extremely heavily in the most powerful military regime on the planet.
However, Israel's nuclear weapons project would never have succeeded without a major contribution from France. Surprisingly, Paris took the toughest line on counter-proliferation when it came to Iran's peaceful nuclear program, whilst at the same time it helped lay the foundations of the Israeli regime's atomic weapons. Whilst Israel has fabricated accusations against Iran's peaceful nuclear program, it's the only possessor of atomic warheads in the West Asia region. There have been growing calls for a region free of nuclear weapons. So why then have the US and Europe themselves turned a deaf ear to such demands?
That was a very good question. Now, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have once again condemned the recent normalization of ties between a number of Arab states and the Tel Aviv regime. Our correspondent, Ruba Shabat, has a report on that.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip held a press conference aimed at expressing the refusal of the recent normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. The conference comes as a code of ethics for Palestinian journalists and media institutes to stress their rejection for normalizing ties with Israel.
We condemn the recent normalization of ties with Israel. We held this conference as a code of ethics for journalists and media institutes to reveal the Israeli violations and normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. The normalization of ties remains a stab in the back of the Palestinian cause.
A number of Palestinian leaders, activists, and journalists attended the conference and condemned establishing Israeli relations, stressing that no deal can bring peace to Israel in the West Asia. Palestinian journalists and activists added that media has a significant role in conveying the true image of the inhumane Israeli regime and refused any normalization of ties with Israel in terms of media.
Normalizing ties with Israel is a way to justify the inhumane nature of Israel. The recent normalization of ties with Israel is a betrayal of the Palestinian cause, and we won't accept any recognition of Israel at the expense of Palestinians.
Palestinians call on Arab and Muslim nations to end these normalization of ties with Israel, that aims to demolish the historical Palestinian cause.
Palestinian activists are all united to say that normalization of ties with Israel is a betrayal of all Palestinians. Media should stand against these attempts to demolish the Palestinian cause. All Arabs and Muslims should stop recognizing Israel as a state.
So far, a number of Arab states have normalized their ties with Israel, including the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The move has sparked harsh criticism among the Muslim nations.
Palestinians here stress they strongly refuse to recognize Israel and reject the normalization of ties with the Tel Aviv regime by certain countries. They say the resistance is ongoing and no deal can bring peace to Israel at the expense of Palestinians. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
The United Nations is warning that Ethiopia's conflicted Tigray region is facing a very critical malnutrition situation. In a report, the UN humanitarian agency said that the situation is expected to deteriorate as households are limited to fewer meals every day. A large portion of the nearly 6 million people in Tigray remain out of reach for aid. According to the report, this has led to severe acute malnutrition among children. It also cites bureaucratic obstacles and the presence of various armed actors as impediments to aid delivery. Tigray has witnessed intense fighting between government troops and forces loyal to the regional governing party over the past 3 months. Fugitive leaders accuse the government of looting and burning crops to force them into surrender. People across Myanmar have once again taken to the streets to demand a return of civilian government. Rallies were held in different towns and cities, including the commercial hub, Yangon, and the second largest city of Mandalay. Protests were largely peaceful, with some demonstrators holding sit-ins as part of their civil disobedience. Now, that came despite the Saturday protests that turned violent when security forces used live ammunition to disperse the crowd, killing two activists. Protesters say that they will continue rallying until their demands are met.
People died yesterday. We protested peacefully, but people had to die. The junta wants to stop us from coming out on the streets, so they strongly respond to us. We, the people, won't accept their unfair oppression, and we continue to fight.
Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General has condemned Myanmar's junta for deadly crackdown. Antonio Guterres called it unacceptable to use lethal force, intimidation, and harassment against peaceful demonstrators. Myanmar has been the scene of a street rally since the military seized power on February the 1st. It detained civilian leaders, including Aung San Suu Kyi. Three protesters have been killed. More than 500 people have been detained since then. And with that, we come to the end of this broadcast.
A diverse range of programs. Youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 21st, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. However, as you may know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. Sending any material, including paper QSL cards, on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Alejandro Philly Munchak from Argentina, Abdul Alim from India, and Jay Hojibens from Belgium. I've pronounced these names because these reception reports are from different countries. I wish I pronounced the names correctly. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you, Alejandro, Abdul Alim, and Hojibens. Thanks a lot. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which here I mention their names, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Also, we have an email from Shanti Kumari from India. And here we have an email from Poland. This email is from Perez Misla Zoladek. Also, here there is an email from Giovanni Fasinda from Italy. And the last but not the least is an email from Howard Barnett from England. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, dear listeners. After a short music, I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Sultan Mahmoud says, "Dear staff, Assalamu alaikum. Hope you are well by the grace of God. The news is that on the occasion of the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran, IRIB English Radio greets all the friends of the revolution. I heard an audio clip about how Iran changed after Islamic Revolution from your website. This report was very informative. Basically, the main mission of the West is to subdue Iran and protect the regime of Israel. In the past, the United States would resort to various tactics to save the Israeli regime, an illegally occupying state. They see Iran as a major obstacle for reaching their vicious goals, because while many countries in the West Asia region are trying to maintain diplomatic relations with the Israeli regime, Iran is the only country that has sided with the oppressed Muslims in Palestine. Every effort is being made to restore their rights. I wish you all good health and prosperity. Well, salam and greetings to you, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. And I do express my appreciation to you for sending us this email. As you mentioned in your email, this year, February 10th, was the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And on this occasion, IRIB English Radio broadcast many different programs on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran, and we are very happy that you enjoyed the programs. As you said, you found our programs very informative. Thanks a lot. Of course, our efforts has always been and is providing the best quality of broadcast for our dear listeners from around the world. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, again, thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And from India, we have an email from Shanti Kumari. Shanti Kumari from India says, "Hello, I congratulate all the listeners on New Year 2021. May the New Year be full of peace for the people around the world. I'm glad for being one of your radio station's listener, and I request you to organize a quiz contest for your listeners, because nowadays many radio stations organize a competition, and I guess it would be a good idea for your radio to hold one. I hope you will bring good news in this regard for your friends this year. Also, I would like to request you to include this letter in your listeners' special program. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you, Shanti Kumari from India, one of our dear listeners. And lots of thanks for writing to us in IRIB English Radio. We also wish you all the best. And we wish you and all listeners of IRIB English Radio the best in 2021, of course, peace, especially peace, health, joy, and love. And you suggested a quiz contest. This is a good idea. And we inform our producer, Mr. Khoshnavisan, about this idea. Maybe we have one in the future, a competition, as you suggested. Anyway, wish you all the best in 2021. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Shanti Kumari from India. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with the rest of letters and emails from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You just heard a piece of music from Iran, which is related to south of Iran, and I hope you enjoyed it. And here we have a message from Przemyslav Zoladek from Poland. It was a little hard for me to pronounce your name, Zoladek from Poland. Zoladek from Poland says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio, I would like to report the reception of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran in the central part of Poland, 80 kilometers southwest of Warsaw. It was a great honor to receive your signals from Tehran here in my country. Keep up the good work. All the best and greetings from Poland." Salam, Zoladek from Poland, and I sent you our deepest thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are so glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in your region. As you said, you are in central part of Poland, that is 80 kilometers southwest of Warsaw. It's also a great honor for us in IRIB English Radio to have you with us as a listener. Zodalek from Poland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Wish you all the best. Also from Italy, we have an email from Giovanni Facinda. Giovanni Facinda from Italy says, greetings to all the staff of IRIB English Radio. My name is Giovanni Facinda. I live in Ervi, Torino, Italy, and would like to report my listening reception. Please, I would like to receive a QSL card confirming my listening, if it is possible, from your side. Thank you very much. Salam, Giovanni Facinda from Italy. Ciao. And thank you very much for sending us this email. And regarding your request about sending QSL card, as you may know, IRIB English Radio has temporarily halted sending any material, including paper QSL cards and the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio due to coronavirus. And but as you may know, as soon as the protocols are removed, we will get back to our normal tradition of sending these items to our dear listeners. Anyway, Giovanni Facinda from Italy, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast? In the future emails, please tell us which programs you like the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Giovanni Facinda from Italy. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Howard Barnett from Northampton, England. Howard says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio, tonight I tuned into your radio station via the internet from 1920-2020 GMT, and I heard you with excellent reception, except for a short break in transmission. What I heard was first a station announcement, and this was followed by some music. Then came the news, which included the following details. There were mass protests in Yemen's capital city, Sana'a, and many other cities over the U.S. I don't know if you verified reception reports via the internet, but if you do, then a QSL card along with anything else you care send me will be very much appreciated. Sent to address above. Thank you. Yours sincerely. First of all, salam, Howard Barnett from England, and lots of gratitude to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. I hope you're doing fine. So it seems that you've already received the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region, Northampton, England. That's great. It seems that, first of all, as you said, you received station announcement followed by music and then the news. That's great. In your future emails, please tell us which programs you like the best, and generally tell us your views about our programs. Howard Barnett from Northampton, England. Thanks a lot. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the next section of our program, that is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Hello there. Hello, everybody in Iran. I hope everybody's okay out there. My name is Adam Santa. I'm from Leicester in England. I am a frequent listener of IRIB. I've been tuning in on the shortwaves for about a year now and again whenever I get time. I enjoy the show, I enjoy the content. It's a very interesting show. I enjoy hearing about the listeners from around the world. And I hope that everybody is doing well this summer. I think the content is pretty good. I particularly like the interview segments. It's quite interesting when you get people from different parts of the world there. It's quite interesting to hear their perspective on things, simply because you don't really get that in any other format, really. That's one of the things I enjoy about shortwave radio, is that you can guarantee that sooner or later you're going to pick up a station that has some kind of different perspective on things. So it's quite interesting to do that. Yeah, I would just like to say, around the world, I hope you're doing well. Continue listening to IRIB because they're doing a great job. Keep in contact with them. Keep the shortwaves active. I know that the shortwaves aren't exactly as busy as they used to be, so we need to keep that going. And I hope everybody is doing well.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special This Sunday program. Keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
Leadership from the perspective of Imam Khomeini. Unless the ruler is just, he will not administer just in providing Muslims with their righteous, collecting and distributing taxes properly, and putting the penal code into effect. Such a ruler may also make his friends, supporters, and relatives take control of people and spend Muslims' assets in fulfilling his own personal whims and desires.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're going to talk about the viewpoint of Imam Khomeini in regards to the independence. And we mentioned about the independence in the previous episode. Now, today I have another saying of Imam Khomeini in this regard. And Imam Khomeini is talking to the nation and the people in the government and everyone. And he says that, O nation, wake up. O government, wake up. Everybody, wake up. You are all in the presence of God. Tomorrow in the next world, you will be called to account. Do not ignore the blood of our martyrs and do not quarrel over positions or status. Basically, when you're affiliated with someone, then this takes your independence. In the Quran, chapter 5, verse number 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُصَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. It's a strange verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but though ceases, those in whose hearts is a disease, hastening towards them, saying, we fear lest a calamity should befall us. Maybe Allah will bring the victory or command from Himself, so they will regret what they did and what they had in their souls.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
There are many people who say that if we do not become dependent of the superpowers, if we do not become dependent of such powers or such countries, they might harm us. They might basically bring a calamity to us. But in chapter 5, verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly is saying that remember those who says that we will have calamity from such country, from such powers, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi qulubihim maradun. They have a sickness in their hearts. They have a problem. They have a disease in their heart. And this disease is that they rely others than Allah, whereas they should rely on Allah and not others. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn and understand and follow the teachings of Quran, insha'Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
While there have been drops in life expectancy in the U.S. in recent years due to increases in drug overdoses, the decline over the past year, in large part due to the coronavirus pandemic, is the biggest drop in life expectancy since the Second World War. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Chris Walker, news writer. This article is published under the heading COVID deaths in the U.S. lead to biggest drop in life expectancy since the Second World War. Here's the details. Life expectancy in the United States of America has dropped by a full year, according to new figures released recently. The current life expectancy of an individual in the U.S. is now 77.8 years, down from 78.8 years in 2019. While there have been drops in life expectancy in the U.S. in recent years due to increases in drug overdoses, the decline over the past year, in large part due to the coronavirus pandemic, is the biggest drop in life expectancy since the Second World War. The drop in life expectancy was even more noticeable among communities which have been hit harder by the pandemic. Black Americans, for example, saw a drop of 2.7 years, while Latino Americans saw a decrease of 1.9 years. The gap between life expectancies seen in white and black Americans is now the widest it's been in more than two decades, with white Americans born today expected to live 6 years longer than black Americans on average. The actual drop in overall life expectancy may be more pronounced, as the figures are based on the first 6 months of last year, and the majority of deaths from coronavirus pandemic in 2020 occurred in the second half of that year. There is some hope that the situation can turn around as the rate of new COVID-19 cases continues to decrease. In the past 2 weeks, for example, the number of new cases have dropped by 43%. The daily death toll has dropped by 34%. The 7-day average of new daily deaths is 2,026 deaths being reported per day, the lowest since New Year's Eve. Much of the COVID-19-related deaths that occurred in 2020 could have been prevented, according to a new report published in The Lancet. Within the research cited in that report, which states that the United States of America could have avoided 40% of COVID-19 deaths, two factors largely stand out: the country's for-profit healthcare system and the actions of former President Donald Trump during the pandemic. U.S. life expectancy began falling behind that of other wealthy nations in 1980s, the Lancet report noted, when the Reagan administration enacted regressive policies in healthcare. That is the turning point where health started falling in the United States compared to other G7 nations. Kevin Grombach, a professor of family and community medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, and co-author of the Lancet report, said in an interview recently, "We totally shifted to conservative and neoliberal policies, and that corresponds with the deteriorating health in the country relative to other nations," he added. Over the past 40 years, life expectancy in the U.S. has fallen behind other wealthy nations by an average of 3.4 years. The Trump administration also bears major responsibility for the high number of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S., the reporter stated, as it continued to peddle detrimental approaches to public health issues. Trump's inconsistent messaging and amplification of misinformation led many, particularly those in his devoted fan base, to take the virus less seriously than they should have. Trump's refusal to lead by example and wear a mask in most public appearances, as well as his promotion of lies about COVID-19, including not leveling with American people about its true deadlines, likely contributed to higher rates of death. The lack of mask wearing and social distancing practices within the former president's own campaign rallies probably led to hundreds of coronavirus-related deaths. As of Thursday morning, 490,326 Americans have died from coronavirus, with nearly 28 million diagnosed with the virus so far. While health models predict many more deaths, at least 115,000 casualties from the pandemic can be avoided between now and June 1st if everyone in the U.S. wore masks in public.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition of Hisham ibn Hakam, which he narrates from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, we have reached the 15th section of this tradition. This section is a very famous section. I'm sure many of you may have heard this from, you know, the pulpits, maybe from a Jummah khutbah or a Jummah sermon. You know, people mention this tradition, this part of the tradition, many times, not knowing that this part is a small part of a very large tradition. And this is important for us to realize that, you know, this tradition that Imam mentions, you know, this is a part of it that falls into the larger picture. And here the Imam mentions two proofs, two evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have for people on the Day of Judgment. That these two proofs and evidences that are there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use against us and say that, no, you had this, why do you not use it? So the Imam says that, oh Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two pieces of evidence or proofs against people. The first one, or one, is manifest, that is apparent, you can see it, it is in front of you. And the other is hidden. You know, one is dhahir, as the hadith says, one is batin. And this is, as we heard, this tradition is quite famous, as I've said. And the Imam continues and says, that which is manifest, that which is dhahir, that which is apparent, are the messengers and the prophets and the Imams that have been sent and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are clear, you can see them, they're in front of you. But the only issue is here that they are there only for a specific period of time. Most of them. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only, you know, in front of the people for 63 years. Imam Ali the same. Imam Hassan for a little bit less, and so on and so forth. The other prophets, for example, for much longer. Nuh alayhi salam for 950 years he only preached, but he was alive for a lot longer than that. But you have one proof that will remain with you your entire life, from the time you become bulugh till the time you die. This is the hidden one. And what is that? And that which is hidden is the people's intellect. This aql that the hadith mentions, or the uqur rather, because it's plural, all people. This intellect and the ability to understand, this ability for you to conceive and to perceive things, to perceive right, to perceive wrong. This is something important Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. For example, if you are not even at the time of a prophet, of a nabi, of a messenger, your intellect has the ability to tell you that, no, this is right and this is wrong. This is what you must do, this is what you mustn't do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us an intellect that will be our guide, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
No more.
The Debate.